You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
I want to go ahead and introduce our guest speaker today. So you heard Kim beautifully lead us in worship today. Raul and Kim Ortiz are from our sister church. Well, we have four churches in this San Diego up to Los Angeles, the Valley. I think we have five. Anyway, they're from our West Los Angeles church in Santa Monica. I was just there a couple months ago. I should know this. But anyway, they've been a part of the Every Nation family for a long, long, long time. And born and raised in L.A., and so I brought some cool people in to be with us. I teased them about this. So anyway, they've served as campus missionaries. Raul has been a campus director for all the west coast of U.S. and all the way up to Vancouver, Canada. Kim has been involved in various arts ministries, also involved in campus ministry, discipling young women. And so they're also associate pastors at our church there. Help out there. So I don't know what else to say about them, but they're amazing. So can I give a big warm welcome to Raul Ortiz?
Can someone get the... Appreciate that.
Was that okay?
That was wonderful.
Okay.
I don't know about the cool part, but yeah, I'll take it. Yeah.
Okay.
So good to be with you all. Thank you, my brother. And appreciate what you do on the campus, man. God bless you. So first of all, I want to say I come in peace. I know that there's been some beef between our two cities, Kendrick and Drake, Blue Jays and the Dodgers, but I come in peace. I love this city. This is actually my first time in Canada. My wife has been to Canada before. My first time in Canada, obviously first time in your city. And can I just say, I love your city. Getting to walk around the last few days and see what this city is like, I'll tell you one thing. We are overwhelmed by how incredibly clean it is. Now, you might think it's clean to us. Can I just get you on a plane and come to my city? I love my city, but we need some help in the cleanliness area. But yeah, I love your city, and this has been amazing being here. And I want to tell you, too, how much I love your pastors. You have absolute gold in this couple right here. You ought to ask them sometime to just tell you some stories about what God has done in and through them, and you're going to be overwhelmed by the goodness of God that has come through this couple, and that you are the benefit you are benefiting from in what God has done in their life. They are absolutely amazing, and thank you so much for bringing us here and allowing us to serve with you. It is absolute honor. Let me introduce you to my family. You've already met Kim. We have been married for, it is going to be 26 years in the summertime. And yes, amen, yeah, hallelujah. And we have two boys. They'll be on the screen here, along with me and Kim. Big guy is our first one. He plays football. Guess you can tell, right? And his name is Jordan. He's going to be, 23 this summer. And then our youngest son, Ryan, over here, he's actually living in Nashville right now. Doing sports photography, and he is going to be, 21. He'll be 21 in November, yeah. So that's our family. That's actually a picture from my parents' house. So there you go. Look, palm trees and all this L.A. beautifulness. There you go. So exciting, right? Let me tell you just a little bit about my story. My story comes from the campus as well. You know, my parents... My mom is from Cuba. She was born there, came to the States during the revolution. My dad's grandparents from Mexico. My mom and dad met in middle school about 15 minutes from where I grew up. And they were not religious folks growing up necessarily, kind of around Catholicism a little bit, but nothing really major in their life. God was not a staple in their life in that kind of way. And my parents, when they had me and my sister, decided that they weren't a big fan of the public schools in L.A., so they decided to put me in little private Christian schools my whole life. They thought the education would be better. They thought I'd be safer, for sure. And so I grew up around Christianity and around the gospel. I had to take it as a class all the time. But it wasn't until I got to UCLA, where I went to school, University of California, Los Angeles, and which was my dream to go there. And my freshman year, right before I got there, my vice principal at my school, who had always taken a strong interest in me and she wanted the best for me and wanted me to serve God, she told me about this campus ministry that was at UCLA that if I got in, I should connect with them. At the time, I told my vice principal, well, that's nice, but in my mind, I was like, I'm not messing with these religious people. I don't know what they're doing. And so I get to campus. I get into UCLA, my very first day on campus, my very first day, I'm this lost freshman trying to find my classes, and I'm walking on the main thoroughfare of campus. It's called Bruin Walk, and there's tons of people. I run into the back of a campus missionary that my vice principal had been financially supporting for about 2 years at that point. I bumped into her. She turns around. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. And she says, oh, you're Raul. And I said, this is weird. Why do you know my name? This is literally, I'm not lying. This is exactly how it happened. She says my name. She says, oh, yeah, your vice principal told me to look out for you and see if I see you on campus. And I was like, ooh, those are religious people. That's who they are. And so she introduces me to a few people from the campus ministry, which was our, you know, Every Nation campus ministry under a different name at the time. 2 weeks later, I'm walking to one of my classes, and the campus director, whose name is Greg, saw me walking up Bruin Walk, and he told me later that he prayed and he asked God, Lord, give me a word for this young man that could impact his life. And so I see Greg, and he calls me over, and we're just, you know, small talking for a little bit, and then the whole conversation changes. And everything that I was wrestling with in my life at that time, wondering about God, wondering about who he was and what he was supposed to possibly mean to my life, he's now talking to me about those very things in specific word and detail that only God could have revealed to him. And so at the time, my perspective on God was that God was real but distant. And how much did he actually care about my life specifically? And everything that was happening in that encounter with Greg was just blowing up that worldview that God was actually very close. And so in the middle of Bruin Walk at around noon on October 17th, 1996, I'm bawling my eyes out in front of this guy who I just met a couple weeks ago, coming to saving faith for the first time in Jesus. And he prays with me. I repent and come to faith. I'm wiping, you know, snot and tears out of my eyes and face, and he looks at me and he goes, you know what I think you ought to do next? I'm like, what? He goes, there's some guys from our fellowship that are having lunch in the student union. Why don't you go up there and tell them what God did for you just now? Again, I just met those guys 2 weeks ago, and I was like, okay. So I go up, I find them. It wasn't hard to find them because there were a bunch of football players from UCLA, and there's these big giant guys having lunch, and I walk up to them, and I'm like, hey, guys, Greg told me to come up and tell you what God just did in my life. And so here's what happened. And I told them, all of them, like four or five of them, jump up, big giant 6'8", 6'7", big giant 300-pound guys all tackle me and hug me and embrace me. And they're so excited for this new life in Christ that I had just come into. And in that was a picture of what would be the rest of my life, I believe, where God would do things in my life. And then he would prompt me to just go tell everybody else what he has done. And so I'm here today to express to you something that God has shown me and done in my life today. And today the sermon is called From the Heart. So if you would you join me in prayer as we dive deeper into his word? Lord, we thank you so much for the way that you work in our lives and reveal yourselves to us. I pray, Lord, that in this time that we have together to talk about your word, to dive deeper within it, that you would reveal yourself, you would reveal your heart to everyone here. And Lord, that each of us would just be that much more shaped into the image of your Son for having been here today. Lord, be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. The way I normally start a sermon is I always start with a question to get you thinking. Here's the question for today. What does it take to get your attention? What does it take to get your attention? You know, the going joke in my household right now is how many times my wife or my boys have to say my name before I will realize that they're talking to me and go, what do you want? Anybody like me? You're reading something, you're on your phone, and that's the only thing you see or hear, right? And my boys or Kim will be like, Raul, dad, dad. And then my boys will switch it up, go, father. They go, oh, what? What does it take to get your attention? What does it take to get your attention? You know, for some of us, a good friend coming to us will get our attention. A spouse pulling us aside, if you're married, and having that talk with us will get our attention. For some of us, our health will get our attention. Unfortunately, for many of us, including yours truly, pain is what eventually finally gets our attention. Anybody relate to that? Far too often, the pain, whether mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, has to be so great that you literally can't go another day without paying attention to what's going on in your life. A while back, for me, around 9 years ago, the pain of disappointment, the frustration of unmet expectations, was having a terrible effect on me, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my two boys, and just my overall quality of life. It was terrible. And right when the pain was at its peak, a wonderful friend of mine named Leo Clark, Leo, if you're watching, I love you, brother, came to me and invited me to this week-long men's event in Colorado. And he had offered that invitation to me many times over the years of all this pain going on in my life, and I had turned him down every time. But again, the pain got so big and so doing what it was doing to me that I finally gave in and said, okay, fine, I'll go. And it was at this week-long event in the mountains in Colorado where I slowed down long enough to listen to God. And a good summation of what God showed me in that time comes actually from a quote that I want to share with you from a wonderful theologian, writer, and speaker who has since passed named Dallas Willard. I'm not sure if any of you know who that is. Dallas Willard said this. He said, the main thing, not the only thing, there's other things, but the main thing God gets from your life is not what you produce, but the person you become. The main thing God gets from your life is not what you produce, but the person you become. See, I thought, like maybe some of you, that life is made good from the outside in. We tell ourselves things like, if I could just get this job, I'll be happy. If I could just have this relationship, I'll be content. If I could just get that certain house in that certain neighborhood, if I could accomplish this or that, I'd be at peace. But the scriptures say something different, that life doesn't come from the outside in to make it good. It starts from the inside and comes out. In Proverbs 4:23, there's two different versions of it on the screen. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. The source of life. And again, a different translation, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So from the heart, your life is determined. That is the source of life. God has determined, as the creator of everything, including you and I, that life flows from the inside out, not the outside in. But how many of us actually live that way? I know I wasn't at the time of this pain in my life. I wasn't. I know I've tried to live outside in most of my life, actually. God, if you would just do this one thing for me, if you would just cause this one thing to happen, if you would just take my life in this direction, then it will have this effect on the way I feel about life on the inside, and I'll be okay, and I'll be all right, and I'll be at peace. We tell ourselves we'll really be happy and at peace and content if we could just accomplish, achieve, or acquire that thing, or have this, or have that. One of Canada's famous actors and comedians, Jim Carrey, actually said this. I couldn't believe he said it. He said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer." Isn't that amazing? That someone who has accomplished so much that you would think, if anyone would be content living from the outside in, it would be someone like that. But he says, no. Doesn't actually accomplish what you hope it will, or that you hope it would on the inside of you. The external pleasures and satisfactions of this world, even the noble ones, even ministry ones, like the things that I was upset about in my life 9 years ago. God, why aren't you doing the things I want you to do in my life in ministry? And why am I not seeing the things I want to see? And what are you doing? Why won't you give me what I want in this area? It seems noble. I was working on the campus at the time. God, why won't you give me what I want here? Reality is the external pleasures and satisfactions of this world, even the noble ones, will never have the effect we want them to have on our internal world. They'll never have the desired effect.
So let's look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in his prayer to a group of believers that he loved dearly. In Ephesians chapter 3, he says, "I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Look at the phrases he uses. In your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Life flows from the inside out. Our good and gracious God wants to be with you at the deepest part of who you are in a relationship based in trust and in love. He is after the transformation of who you are at the level of your heart, not just at the level of your behavior or at the level of your circumstances and your surroundings. He wants access to your heart. And so what is your heart? What is, when the scriptures say heart, what are the writers in those moments, what do they mean? Your heart is the core of your being, encompassing your mind, your will, emotions, and your moral character. And what you end up giving to the world comes out of the transformation that God does in your heart. Again, the main thing God gets from your life is not the things you produce, but the person you become. And life, that life flows from your heart. And so guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And so if performance and achievement and accomplishment, success, doesn't do it for us to help us become who we're meant to become, and it's about our heart, well, what is God trying to shape this heart into? What is he after? How is he trying to mold us? In Romans 8, verses 29 through 30, this is in the Message translation. I love the way Eugene Peterson translated this. Here's what it says. Again, this is what our hearts are being shaped into. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should look like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. His goal for you and I from the very beginning was to shape us into the image of his son. When we see the life of Christ and the way he loved and the way he was from the heart, that's our shape. That's our intended shape. So our life flows from the heart. So we should guard it above all else. He wants to fill us with all his fullness at the level of our heart. And what we should do is allow him to form us and shape us into the image of his son. And so how does this happen? How does this transformation and this shaping that God wants to do, how does this happen? Well, Brianna stole my thunder. She talked all about it. We could have actually gone home right after she shared her testimony. He does this. He does this shaping, not by making you a success, not by fulfilling every dream you ever had before you even knew him, not by giving you every comfort that you think your soul needs. And it for sure doesn't come to us if we just try harder, or if we lean into and really find a way to really live out that phrase, you do you. It's not the way he does it. There's a verse that I'm sure if you've been following Jesus for some time, you've read, and maybe you've gone past it as quickly as I have many times, but it says something pretty powerful. And you know, when I read the scriptures now, at the place in my life that I'm at now, I am constantly seeing relationship. I used to see and read within the scriptures a kind of A plus B equals C, kind of like God, if this transactional thing is what I'm trying to say. It's a transaction. And that's what I thought when I was 19, is that God was real, and my job was really just to not tick him off. And if I could be nice enough and good enough and not get in trouble enough, then God would be nice to me and give me the things that I wanted. Now, I don't see my faith in that way, thank God. And I don't read the scriptures in that way. I see relationship in the scriptures. And I see it in this verse that has this one phrase that I think is so powerful. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Paul is speaking and he says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? And this is the part I want to focus on, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. God's kindness? His kindness leads us to change? See, the scripture, again, in another place, in Ephesians 2:13, it says that we've been brought near to God by the blood of his son. And I don't know about you, but when I'm talking to another person or I'm interacting with another person and I can perceive that they're kind, the way that I can perceive their kindness is the way that they talk to me. You can feel it in their presence and the way that they talk and the way that they're engaging with you. You can feel their kindness. And I think the same is with God, and the way that this is being communicated here is his kindness leads us to his repentance. God's transforming power is in his presence and in his voice. His kindness transforms me. When I allow my heart to be near him and to hear his voice, that changes me. Repentance, that in this verse here, repentance means that change of heart, the change of mind. And it's his kindness that does that. I think sometimes we get the wrong idea about God. We have this, and this is what I thought at 19. We think that if I were to step out and actually get close to God and allowed his voice to speak to me and speak to my heart, that all he would do is tell me how horrible I am and all the mistakes I've made and how could you ever have done this? And you know what? If he chose to do that, he probably is not lying. Especially me at the time, I was such a hypocrite. I was pretending to be one thing, but from the heart was not any of it. And if he chose to talk to me in that kind of way, he wouldn't have been lying, but would it have been kind? Maybe, maybe not. But I think so many times we think, if I took that step towards God in a real relational kind of way and allowed him and allowed his kindness to speak to my heart, I might be afraid of what he might say. But here's the good news, and I say this from experience, and maybe some of you from your own experience can say this. My overall experience of being in Christ as a son of God because of what Jesus did on the cross for me, which now has enabled me to be in a dynamic relationship where now his presence and his voice can be with me, what I have found is that God is constantly wanting to be kind to me. Isn't that amazing that he wants to be kind to you? That he wants to talk to you in a kind and loving way, and that that is how you change? The myth is that you change because somebody's harsh to you or someone uses fear against you. And I just need more fear in my life and then I would change. Reality is you need his presence and his voice and his kindness. And his kindness changes you from the heart. His kind and loving presence changes the way I think. The way I think about myself, the way I think about others, the way I think about the world. His kind and loving presence changes my relationship to my emotions. They don't drive me like they once did. And they have a more balanced place in my life where they're indicators of things, not drivers of things. His kind and loving presence changes my will and what I want to do in my life and how I want to live my life. And yes, I want to do great things with God and for God, but my identity isn't attached to the things that I produce in some toxic kind of way. But I do them because he's transformed my will and my ability to do for his good pleasure. And so sometimes we can be in Christ and we love God, but because we don't give God access and the time to meet us at our heart, we could be, as one gentleman, John Eldred, says, we can be at cross purposes with God. Because we don't have his heart. And you're actually then pursuing things that he doesn't want you to pursue because you haven't received his heart for your life. And the last thing, of course, is his kind and loving presence changes my character. I become more patient, I become more loving, I become a better listener. And so you might be thinking, well, how does God do this? How does God do this that he causes me to hear his voice? He can cause me to hear his voice? Can humans even do that? Of course they can. It's what you were made to do. It's what you were made to do. Yes, you can. If you are in Christ, the Spirit of God dwells within you, transforming your ability to connect with him, to commune with him, and yes, even hear from him and have his kindness transform you from the heart. John 10, 27 through 29, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. And here's the thing that I've come to understand, and this is where really the rubber met the road for me in all those years of pain that ended about 9 years ago, was the reality of understanding this, that God is always speaking. He's always speaking. It's whether or not I'm actually listening is the issue. And whether or not I've allowed the circumstances and the disappointments and the pain of this world to cut me off and say, well, if God's going to allow this kind of stuff, then I don't really want to hear what he has to say. That's what I was doing. And so are we listening? And have we allowed the circumstances of life to cut us off from the very source of life, his presence and his kindness? Here's the thing. The pursuit of his presence and voice cannot be a side hustle for you and I. You know what a side hustle is, right? Can't be a side hustle. And because of the disappointment and the letdown in my life all those years ago, pursuing God's voice and pursuing his heart had become kind of just a side hustle for me. And the deterioration of my heart was so bad because I had allowed the disappointment to keep me from his kindness. Guard your heart above all else, guard your heart. That means you keep certain things out of your heart, but a good guard knows what to keep out and what to keep let in. And you've got to let in his presence and let in his voice and let in his kindness to transform you from the inside out. Make that time, just like Brianna said, make that time. The enemy of your soul and mine, especially in cities like Los Angeles and Toronto, the enemy of your soul and mine is busyness and the pursuit of the world's dream for our life. Those are the things that want to come against your time of sitting in his presence and allowing his kindness to transform your heart. I've lived it. I've been there. And I'm telling you that life is actually better when you will take the time to slow down. Slow down. Get yourself out of the rat race long enough to sit regularly with him and his word and his voice to have it transform your heart. I've got to slow down. What God has called you as a people, what God has called you individually and you as a people to do in this city is important, is meaningful, and it is going to be incredible. But it will not be done by folks who have not allowed God to transform them from the level of their heart. Here's the thing. People have tried. I tried. And many before me have tried to produce something from the outside in. And it comes to ruin eventually. But the thing that actually lasts and the thing you actually want to build in your life and the life you actually want to live has to start by you and I allowing his loving, kind presence to transform us from the inside and actually touch that deepest part of who we are. Our mind, our will, our emotions, and have him transform that place. And then from there, we produce incredible things in the earth. And cities are families are transformed, cities are transformed, campuses are transformed. But it starts on the inside. I thought forever God was just about me producing things from the outside. And then maybe those producing things would have an effect on my heart. I've come to understand there's something far different. That God wants access to your heart and he wants to come to you at the level of your heart every day, transforming you from the inside out. I know some of you are right now in this auditorium, you're in pain. You're in pain. Stress, anxiety, disappointment have come and they're bombarding your heart. And you're wondering, where is God? And what are you doing, God? But the pain of the disappointment has had such an effect on you that you won't even slow down long enough to actually hear what God has to say about it all. And so as someone who has been there, I want to encourage you. And we're going to take just a moment right now to stop, to pause, and to listen to the Spirit of God and what he might be saying to you and what he might be saying about your life and what he might be saying about your circumstance. And here's the great thing. In the context of a spiritual family, you don't have to feel the pressure to do it alone. You can do it in the context of spiritual family and talk to other people about the things that you're going through, the things that you think God might be saying in his word or in your own prayer life. And help me discern what God is doing in my life. You don't have to just feel the pressure of doing it all on your own. But in this moment, I want to just take a moment to be silent. One of the things that I did at that week-long retreat in the mountains in Colorado is they took all of our phones, our computers. We had to turn them in before the whole week started. And then we would have these things called covenants of silence, where for an hour, this camp of 400 men would be silent, just seeking the voice of God. It's very simple, but a very hard thing to do. And the things God showed me and the things he told me in those times, transformational. And so I replicate that in my life now all the time. As busy as I am, as crazy as LA is, I'm in the car 4 hours a day, driving here and there, going to this campus, going to this place. I pull aside daily to let God and his loving presence and kindness transform my heart. I'm not perfect at it. I miss some days. But my pursuit and my aim in life is not to produce things for God, but to have him transform my heart and from that place partner with him in what he's doing in the earth. So could I ask you in this moment to bow your head and close your eyes, and if you're holding anything, if there's some technology in front of you, I'm asking you to just put it away. And don't worry about who's sitting next to you. Don't worry about what's going on around you. This is a safe place. God's presence is here. His loving presence is here. And let's just take some time. And this is what I do, y'all. This is what I've been taught. When I come to God in silence, I come to him and I first tell him, Lord, I give you everyone and everything. It's out of 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I just give everyone and everything, all the things I'm worried about, all the people I'm worried about, I give all of that to you. And then the second thing I'll do is I'll say something along the lines of, Lord, I belong to you, and I'm here. Lord, I belong to you, and I'm here. And I'm listening. And I'm listening. So do those two things. Give everyone and everything to God. Tell him you belong to him, that you're here and you're listening. Let's just take 60 seconds to just sit in the presence of God and hear what he might say to you. That the Lord is speaking to you. I trust that he's telling you good things. God is just filling my heart with love for this city and this campus. He's filling my heart with love for you all. He wants you to know he's near. He is not far. He wants you to know that the circumstances of your life are not evidence that he's left you. He's near. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf in the midst of those circumstances. He loves you. And he's near. And he loves those that you love. And those that you're worried about, he sees. And he's near to them as well. Every Nation GTA, God has called you to make an impact in this city and on these campuses. And what the world needs is not a bunch of religious people telling them to do better. What they need are true sons and daughters of God that have been transformed by his loving, kind presence. And bringing the hope that that is a reality that they can have too. They need that hope. They need to know that God is alive and he has a voice and he can draw near. So do that. Spend time in his presence, allowing his kindness to transform your heart and to make you a vessel of God's heart to this city and to these campuses. He has such special things for you to experience in your own walk with him and for you to be an extension of that heart to this city and to these campuses. So much good work. So, Lord, we give you our heart. We give you our heart. We give you access to our heart. Lord, the things we do in this life, they matter. But they come out of a heart that is truly yours and has truly been transformed by your presence. And Lord, we want that. We want that for ourselves. We want that for our neighbors. We want that for our families. We want that for our city. We want that for our campus. We want that. So Lord, let us be those type of people. Let us be those type of vessels that can carry the hope of your loving kindness and your great and loving presence to the rest of this hurting world. Thank you, God, for speaking. Thank you that you have a voice that you enable us to hear. That you're not a God that is distant and far, but you're a God who has come near and has drawn us near. And that we can live in the reality of your presence day by day. And Lord, help us to fight against the busyness of this world and the pursuit of pleasures and comforts that would drown out your presence and your voice. Lord, we turn, we repent of those things, and we want to be in your presence. We want to be with you. Yes, we want to do great things, but Lord, we want you above all of that. So Lord, transform us from the inside out. Help us to make that room every day to sit with you, your word, and your voice. And allow it to do the work it was always intended to do, which is to be kind to us and transform us from the inside out. Thank you, kind and good God, for the way that you love. Ask your blessing on this people. May your presence go with them. In Jesus' good name.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.